Google is set to invest $500 million in Chinese powerhouse JD.com. The move is part of the US internet giant's efforts to expand its presence in fast-growing Asian markets and contest rivals, including Amazon.com. In Asia, a rapidly growing middle class has more money to spend, and their online shopping sprees have become a battleground for US and Chinese internet giants.
The diesel cheating scandal that's been plaguing Volkswagen for almost 3 years has reached the executive level. Rupert Stadler, Audi's CEO, was arrested in Munich today in connection with the scandal, making him the highest profile target in the probe and throwing into question his future at the automaker.
Trade war is not likely to be large enough that its direct effects damage the economy, but it's profoundly. But its psychological effects, its effects in increasing uncertainty, could be very serious, and we're certainly getting later in a cycle of escalation. We've still got a long way to go before this is some kind of full-fledged trade war that would send the global economy into recession, but we've moved down the escalatory step.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's June 19th, 2018, 5:11 in the morning, and we're happy you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day getting underway on the broadcast today. Farmers market season is here, and so is the executive director of the Farmers Market Coalition. They're doing something called the Direct Agricultural Marketing Summit. We're going to be talking with Jen Cheek momentarily, our first guest this morning. A little bit later in the program, we're going to bring you a segment that we had technical difficulties with last week, and we're happy that Ariel O'Shea is back with us about 5:40 this morning from NerdWallet. With a reality check about how much your retirement will really cost you. They've done an analysis of month-to-month, day-to-day expenses for your retirement. It is quite eye-opening, and you'll want to join us at 5:40 for that. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're going to have a rough open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are down 353 points. That's almost 1.5%. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower by 1% as well each. NASDAQ futures this morning down about 77. S&P futures are down about 31 points. Around the rest of the globe, markets in Asia are also significantly lower. The Nikkei off 401 points, down almost 2%. The Hang Seng lower as well. Markets in Asia getting back to business after a couple of holiday days. In Europe, markets are generally lower as well, with the FTSE and the DAX and the CAC all lower in France and Germany by almost 1%, in London by about 0.5%. And oil this morning is trading at $64.91 a barrel, which is off about 94 cents. A couple of stories real quickly before we begin our first interview. Trade tensions have escalated again between the United States and China. President Trump has directed the U.S. Trade Representative to prepare new tariffs on nearly $200 billion in Chinese imports as the two nations move closer to a real trade war. The tariffs would be the latest round of punitive measures in an escalating dispute over the large trade imbalance between the two countries. Trump recently ordered tariffs on $50 billion in Chinese goods in retaliation for intellectual property theft. The tariffs quickly were matched by China on U.S. exports, a move that drew the president's ire. Also, sources say the Trump administration is close to finalizing a health insurance option for small firms and self-employed people that would cost less but cover fewer benefits than current plans. Congressional officials and business groups spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss a pending announcement. The Labor Department scheduled this announcement today. As originally proposed, the new association health plans would have to cover people with pre-existing health conditions. However, they would offer narrower benefits than required under the Obama-era law. Front and center this morning, Farmers Markets. Jen Cheek is with us, the executive director at the Farmers Market Coalition. We're going to be talking about the Agricultural Marketing Summit. And Jen, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning.
Good to have you back. Let's talk a little bit about this summit. What are you doing with this?
So this is the first of its kind. It's a national summit that we're partnering with the USDA Agricultural Marketing Service Farm Credit Council, the Food Distribution Research Society, and the National Value Added Conference to bring together farmers market operators and direct marketing farmers from across the country, bring them together with researchers, extension specialists, entrepreneurs, and other service providers so that they can all learn from each other. And we can all come together to quantify, evaluate, and sort of maximize the impact of all the direct marketing initiatives across the country, like farmers markets and community-supported agriculture and that type of thing.
When we think of farmers markets as being direct marketing, why is that? Is it because we get to go to these events and see the farmers in action and meet them and shake their hands?
Exactly. Direct marketing is considered when you're actually purchasing that product directly from the person who made it. So you can speak to them, you can ask them questions, you can find out exactly what their farming practices are and how the product is made.
And we often hear, too, these days of something called farm to table. These are other programs that get goods from farms right to our tables all over the country, right?
Right. And so some of the groups that we're partnering with are looking at some innovative approaches to expanding those opportunities for farmers, because the goal is really to make sure that farmers are thriving across the country. So the more ways we can get their products directly to consumers, the better. And it's definitely continues to be a trend that's what consumers are wanting right now. They want that opportunity to speak to their farmer or to know that their food is coming from somewhere nearby and was produced in a sustainable manner.
Yeah, and this the last part, too. I know a lot of folks who want to know exactly where their food is coming from, how it's raised, what is used to raise it, that sort of thing. Let's talk about how farmers are doing. I know that the farmers markets are a way for them to make some more money. What if you had to put a report card on how they're doing, how would you say they're doing?
Well, farmers market farmers, we know from a couple different studies that they're actually much more likely to stay in business if direct marketing is one of their outlets. And so we're really excited about more farmers becoming interested in taking on some direct marketing, whether they're an existing large farmer or a new farmer starting out. Farmers markets are really one of the only places that farmers have that opportunity to directly interact with their customers. And it allows them to make better business decisions because they know what their customers want, and they don't have those high cost barriers to changing sort of their production schedules. And so we're really excited about that continues to be an avenue for farmers to improve their business and make sure that they're actually increasing their revenues.
Jen, hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Jen Cheek this morning, Executive Director at the Farmers Market Coalition. We're going to talk more about the 2018 Direct Agricultural Marketing Summit. But first, we need to take a quick break and update traffic and other information.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, another down day for the Dow Jones. It lost 103 points to settle at 24,987. The S&P 500 slipped by 6 points. The NASDAQ composite was basically unchanged at the end of the day. President Trump is considering another set of tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. And if China retaliates, as Beijing has promised to, Mr. Trump says he'll call for even more tariffs on goods imported from China. The brewing trade wars are taking a toll on the construction industry in this country. The latest sentiment index from the National Association of Home Builders is down slightly amid concern about higher costs for things like lumber, especially lumber from Canada. Big changes are coming down the road for Cadillac. General Motors says it will drop three of the Cadillac sedans in its lineup as American tastes shift toward sport utility vehicles. GM also is pumping $175 million into a factory in Lansing, Michigan. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on with Jen Cheek this morning, Executive Director at the Farmers Market Coalition, talking about the 2018 Direct Agricultural Marketing Summit. Jen, when is the event? How do people take part in it?
The event runs from September 15th through 18th, and the website is localfoodeconomics.com, where you can go to register, learn more about the agenda. We're really excited to have some folks from Chicago, from Experimental Station, to represent the great farmers markets in the city, and there will be a whole host of other speakers and service providers and an opportunity to have one-on-one technical assistance sessions with some staff from the USDA. It's going to be a really interesting event.
There will be all kinds of panels and presentations, too. What would you say, like, give us an example of what one of those marketing panels might be like?
From the Farmers Market Coalition, we're really interested right now in helping farmers markets quantify and evaluate their impact. So we're hosting a panel of a couple of different market managers from across the country who have done a really great job of that. So they've been able to do customer surveys, they have vendor sales, they have all sorts of great metrics that they're able to bring together and communicate back to their customers to show that they're not only supporting their farmers by bringing them increased revenue, but they're really impacting the community in other ways. So we're going to highlight the work that they've been doing and try to make sure that other market managers are able to learn from their practices.
There are all kinds of new innovative ways of doing this kind of marketing, new tools available. What out there do you like that people are using? Maybe even an example like for Chicago, for example. It seems like we're doing it right here, right?
Yeah, Chicago Experimental Station, like I mentioned, they do a great job of using a couple different methods. At the Farmers Market Coalition, we have a program called Farmers Market Metrics that has sort of standardized some of the questions to ask customers and general metrics that market managers can pick and choose from based on their goals as a market. So we're really excited about that tool, and you can go and see the great work that Experimental Station has done with Link Up Illinois. They actually run the programs at Farmers Market in Chicago that allow folks to use their SNAP benefits and also credit and debit at the market if you didn't bring enough cash that day. So they have some great statistics and infographics about the impact that that program has on the city.
I would imagine that it's pretty overwhelming for a farmer getting into this at the beginning. Farmers know how to raise food. They know how to run a farm. But doing all this marketing and all this other kind of stuff, I bet it's overwhelming, isn't it?
Yes, I imagine it is. And farmers are working so hard all of the time, around the clock. So we're excited that as a farmer's market manager, you get to take some of that marketing burden off the farmer, and it's really your role to present them to the community and make sure that you're reaching out to the customers so that they know how to reach their farmers and how to come to the market. And farmers, it gives them the opportunity when you're a farmer and you're selling wholesale, you don't always get that money right away. You have to wait until things are sold. It can be months down the line. So farmer's markets offer the opportunity for farmers to actually get paid right away on that day. And we've, I think the number this year is that farmers and ranchers receive only 14 cents of every food dollar that customers spend at traditional food outlets. And when you're at the farmer's market, your farmer gets 100% of that food dollar right away. So they can put that back into their business right away. So it's another reason to feel really good as a consumer, making that effort to go to your farmer's market.
Again, save the date. It's September 15th through the 18th at the Crystal Gateway Marriott in Arlington, Virginia. Jen, before we let you go, farmer's market season getting underway again. What should we all take away? What should we look forward to?
You should look forward to really fresh, delicious food this year. And I would encourage you again to check out Experimental Station's website. They'll have a list of markets in the Chicago area. And actually, one of your markets won our national poster contest this year, or received an honorable mention. So a lot of great things happening in Chicago.
Jen, always good chatting with you. Thank you for being on this morning.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Jen Cheek is the executive director at the Farmers Market Coalition. Again, the 2018 Direct National Agricultural Marketing Summit, Arlington, Virginia, the Crystal Gateway Marriott, September 15th through the 18th. 2018. We're going to link out to all of this in the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning at WGNradio.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us in our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. How much does it really take for retirement, the price, the costs? Reality check this morning. Ariel O'Shea is with us from NerdWallet Investment Retirement Specialist. This was a segment we tried to bring you last week, but we had some technical difficulties, and we promised we'd do it, and so we are. Ariel, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back. We apologize for all the problems we had last week. I think we introduced you a total of maybe 10 times in the course of 5 minutes. This is important. This is important information, isn't it?
It is so important to know how much you're going to spend in retirement. It's really sort of the basis of your planning.
What if we found out that people don't? I know people don't plan well enough, but are we finding that they really aren't planning as much as they should?
Certainly. So people are not planning as much as they should. Most people, or, you know, many people are not saving as much as they should. And I think those two things are tied together. It can be really intimidating to try to figure out how much you're going to spend for retirement, especially when you're younger. It seems so abstract, right? I mean, how could you possibly predict how your expenses will change? And so this data that we gathered from the Bureau of Labor Statistics really gives you an idea at least of, you know, on average, what kind of expenses tend to go up, what kind of expenses tend to go down, so that you can kind of apply those to your situation and see, you know, how your spending might change.
And it's good information, especially for people who are getting close to retirement, because I think to plan adequately, you need to know what those totals are for housing and other things. What were the biggest surprises from what you found?
I think that we were incredibly surprised by what we found, but I think that a lot of other people will be surprised. I mean, one of the main things is that, we found that housing is, you know, still the biggest line item for retirees. So on average, households run by someone 65 and older spend about $1,300 a month. And I think there's this big movement or big thought around, that people will pay off their mortgage before retirement, which is certainly a good idea. But I think what they tend to forget is that even if your mortgage is paid off, you're still on the hook for taxes, maintenance, you know, you still have to pay insurance, utilities, and all of those costs add up. So even if you don't have a mortgage, you're going to be spending a good chunk of your budget just on sort of maintaining your home.
This is the thing that surprised me. I mean, one of the numbers I saw was about $46,000 a year, $3,800 a month for housing. I think a lot of people, as you mentioned, maybe think about paying off their house. I don't think my house is going to be paid off by the time I'm ready to retire. So knowing these numbers then, how do we plan for this?
So the $3,800 a month was actually total spending, not just housing spending. So housing was $1,300 a month. So that hopefully is a little bit more manageable. Yeah, I think $3,800 a month would really, like, you know, blow most people's budgets in retirement for sure. But knowing that you might spend about $1,300 a month, obviously you want to look in your area and see how that applies to you, because housing costs vary so widely across the country. And then what I like to say is that you can either take a general rule of thumb, which is that for most people, you can probably plan to spend between 70% of your income, maybe 80% of your income pre-retirement. And so what that does is sort of account for the fact that you're no longer saving, you might not be commuting anymore. It sort of takes some of those costs down. Or you can look at your expenses now and then just think through each major expense and how it might change. So if you are someone who does plan to pay off your mortgage, that housing expense will go down. If you're someone who plans to travel a lot, your travel budget is going to go up. So you want to look at all of those things and kind of get an estimate of how much of your current spending you are going to maintain. And then you can take a number like that, whether it's, 70% of your monthly budget, 80%, 90%, and put that into a retirement calculator. We have one at NerdWallet. You literally just plug in, your income, how much you currently have saved, the percentage of your spending that you plan to maintain in retirement, and it tells you how much money you should plan to save. On a monthly basis.
Sure.
So that really breaks it down.
As someone who plans to sit on their front porch and yell at the kids to get off my lawn when I retire, looking down the list of some of these other costs that make up that $3,800, and I was surprised to see that transportation is one of the next biggest costs at about $600 a month. You don't think about doing a lot of driving around probably when you're retired. What are the costs here entail?
Yeah, so I know I was surprised by that, too. So it's the cost of gas, insurance, maintenance, repairs. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe a lot of retirees are, you know, driving to travel. It's possible, you know, people are working longer. So, you know, we couldn't really look at whether these households are actually retired. We just looked at households that are helmed by someone who's 65 and older. So we know that a lot of people are working well past this age, 65, 67, that we tend to think of as like a normal retirement age. So it's definitely possible that, you know, a lot of these people are still commuting and things like that. I mean, if you're just sitting on your porch, you know, you can expect that your transportation costs will be lower. You're getting your entertainment for free
right.
by yelling at those kids. So you don't have to spend that, you know, $200 that we found. So, again, you really have to apply these to your situation.
Healthcare is another big one. And this is, I guess, mm-hmm. a variable that's just going to be like a moving goalpost. But the number in this report was $499 a month. Does seem like it's going to be a moving goalpost, doesn't it?
Certainly. And it's one of those things that's really hard to plan for. So, you know, it depends a lot on if you have an employer health insurance that will carry over, you know, if that no longer exists. When you become eligible for Medicare, that will help a lot. And so things like that. So the best thing that you can, you know, really do is, like everything else, retirement, plan for it. You know, do your best to stay healthy. You know, think about any issues that close family members may have encountered with their health and, you know, whether those, you know, may trickle down, things like that. So Planning, again, is key.
One of the other big expenses, and again, my retirement probably will consist of eating cat food, but $483 a month, that's a pretty big part of the budget as well.
That is a big budget. So it's 20% less than the average household spends on food. So, you know, hopefully things are going down. I think the writer in our post joked that they were getting a lot of early bird specials. You know, cat food is inexpensive. But certainly, you know, all of these things, you really, you know, if you're going to be, if you're a foodie and your plan in retirement is, you know, to take advantage of your extra time and go out to eat more and, you know, really spend your days, you know, dining and things like that, then you can expect to spend more. But most people spend a little less on food, so that's good to know.
The other parts of the report included cash contributions, entertainment. This is one, the entertainment part of this is probably one, and I know you mentioned travel there, but I don't think a lot of people maybe are budgeting for this. This is just sort of the day-to-day, week-to-week entertainment budget, isn't it?
Yeah, this is just day-to-day. So this is not travel. This is just, you know, things that you're doing to spend your time. So whether that's, you know, going to movies or theater, things like that, all of that adds up to this about $200 a month for these households.
As we put all these numbers together, how do we not panic when we see all of this now? If we're doing the planning and doing the calculator, it seems like a lot of people might panic when they see these numbers.
Best way to not panic is really to do the planning, because that will make you feel like you're more in control. You may see a little bit of a scary number that you're working towards, but once you have that number, you can break it down. So you break it down into a monthly goal, you break it down into even like a weekly savings goal. If you have an employer retirement plan at work, you may get matching dollars, and those dollars absolutely contribute to how much you should be saving. So that really helps. But I think the easiest way to kind of wrap your arms around a goal this big is to break it down into smaller goalposts. So think about how much you should be saving every month. Think about how much you should be saving every week. You know, because a lot of these retirement calculators and, you know, planning exercises will return a big multi-million dollar numbers in most cases. And so you want to look at that in the smaller steps that you need to take to reach that number.
Ariel, good information. Thanks so much for coming back and being on with us.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me.
Ariel O'Shea is an investment retirement specialist at NerdWallet. We'll link out to some of this more information from her report and from their reporting in the podcast of The Opening Bell, again at WGNRadio.com a little bit later on this morning.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off 335 points, more than 1%, almost 1.5%. Same story this morning with the S&P and NASDAQ each off more than a percent. Let's get the latest now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The weekly crop conditions report showed very little decline in crop conditions over the past week. As a matter of fact, there was some improvement. USDA reported that 78% of the corn crop was in good to excellent condition. That's up a percentage point from a week ago, and the rating among the highest for this point in the season in USDA records dating to the mid-1980s. USDA rated 73% of the soybean crop as good to excellent, down 1% from a week ago. And USDA said winter wheat harvest 27% complete, and that's ahead of the five-year average of 19%. And so at the end of the day yesterday, the Chicago Board of Trade corn settled down 5.25 cents at $3.56 a bushel. July soybeans up 3 cents at $9.08 a bushel after falling below $9 during the day. Livestock futures, Mercantile Exchange, a good jump in live hog futures. The front month July lean hog contract notched the biggest gain, settling up $2 a hundredweight at $83.72. Most active August hogs were up $1.17 to end the day at $79.42. And cattle markets showed a little bit of strength yesterday. August feeder cattle up $1 a hundredweight, ending at $148.97. And that's your money on 720 WGN. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of stories before we leave you this morning. Alexa may have a new job. As hotel concierge, Amazon has launched a version of Alexa for hotels that lets guests order room service, ask for more towels, and get recommendations for restaurants without even having to pick up the phone or call the front desk. Marriott has signed up for the service and will place Amazon Echo Smart speakers in 10 hotels later this summer. And IBM is testing a computer against two human debaters in the first public demonstration of artificial intelligence technology it's been working on for more than 5 years. The company unveiled its Project Debater in San Francisco yesterday. The argumentative computer system is embodied in a 5-foot-tall machine shaped like a monolith. Asked to debate in favor of government-subsidized space exploration, a topic it hadn't studied, the computer quickly delivered an opening argument, pulling in evidence collected from its repository of both newspaper articles and journals. It then listened to a human's counterargument and gave a 4-minute rebuttal. An IBM research team based in Israel began working on the project not long after IBM's Watson computer beat two quizmasters on Jeopardy in 2011. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, June 19th. On the calendar today, the U.S. Census Bureau will publish housing starts for May. We will also see a couple of companies reporting earnings today, including FedEx, Lazy Boy, and Oracle. Tomorrow, American Outdoor Brands reports earnings. There's also going to be a Senate Finance Committee meeting on tariffs. On Thursday, earnings from Darden, Kroger. The results of bank stress test results are also due out. And then on Friday, the OPEC meeting. Just some of the things that could move the markets today and through the rest of the week.